This is Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm David First. Over the last 4 months, WNYC has aired a series of stories about allegations of police corruption in Mount Vernon, a city of around 70,000 people located just north of the Bronx in Westchester County. The stories are based on hours of phone calls secretly recorded by a whistleblower police officer named Marishea Bavell. In the months since we began bringing you these reports, COVID-19 restrictions meant that most crimes dropped, but in many cities, gun violence shot up. In our latest installment from Mount Vernon, WNYC's George Joseph focuses on claims that police there have long turned a blind eye to gun violence.
Hello? Yo, what's good, man?
Officer John Campo is talking shop with his fellow officer, Marishea Bavell. He doesn't know Bavell is recording their conversation.
That's not part of the rules, bro.
He says the police are letting a dangerous gunman prowl the city streets.
They let a dude, this dude Negro, that's up on a wire. The DEA is doing something with him. Went around with a gun for the past month and a half. After he got shot by the bullies or something like that.
Yeah. Migo, it seems, had been shot by a local gang. And as Officer Campo tells it, the police had been letting Migo roam around Mount Vernon armed with a gun because he was the target of an operation by the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency. At one point, Campo says, police even had a chance to arrest Migo at a car stop. But instead, he says that his colleague, Detective Camilo Antonini, who goes by Nini, refused.
And they know this dude has a gun in the car. We pull him over. Nini does a quick check, but the guy's son's in the back seat. He lets the guy go. So now this dude's basically been driving around with a loaded handgun for the last month and a half, looking for the dudes that shot him.
Bavell specifically asks Campo about this.
So they just let him ride around with the gun, know he had a gun.
Then they let him rock just because the DEA was looking at him.
So they didn't want to touch him because they want to save him for the DEA.
But you can't do that, though. That's basically saying that, okay, I'm going to let you go kill the people that just shot you.
Wow.
Because obviously that's why he has the gun, because people tried to murk him off.
Campo says his supervisor, Sergeant Sean Fagan, didn't care about the potential consequences.
Fagan was like, oh, well, you know, if he starts going crazy and people start getting shot, then we're going to have to take him down. So it's going to take you to the point where people get shot for you to act and do your job just because the DEA told them to take him down.
That call was one of many secretly recorded by Officer Bavell, a whistleblower who has been complaining about corruption in his department for years. WNYC has aired other recordings he made, revealing allegations of officers framing and assaulting residents and scheming with drug dealers. But this conversation touches on a different claim, that some police officers in Mount Vernon, a majority black city, simply do not value the lives of the residents they are sworn to protect and serve. Here's Officer Bavell.
The city can say Black Lives Matter is all they want. But, you know, as long as they have officers like this, have people riding around with guns as a free-for-all, they don't care. They don't care at all.
In a statement, the city of Mount Vernon called the allegations troubling and reiterated its past claims that it is investigating the allegations in the tapes. Earlier this month, the police department announced it had taken several officers off the street and benched one controversial detective following WNYC's investigations. But these allegations have touched a raw nerve in Mount Vernon. For years, activists have accused the department of doing too little to stop shootings and solve gun crimes when the victims are black.
They don't care if we live or die.
That's Jesse Van Loo, an anti-gun violence activist with the group Save Mount Vernon. He says the tapes underscore the need for immediate reform.
For the tapes to come out, what other city will hear cops talking about letting somebody go who's selling drugs and different gang wars and letting the kid ride around with a gun in the car with his son? They'll be fired.
Across the country, African Americans are far more likely to suffer from gun violence, and police are far less likely to solve their cases. Scholars say that in many communities, police have not earned the trust of residents, and often, it's simply not safe enough for them to consider cooperating.
It's a big step to get someone to go into witness protection, to get them to move, give up all their friends, their family.
That's Tom Scott from the RTI Center for Policing Research. He says even if people are willing to testify,
there's a lack of resources to help them do it. So until that's fixed, the police are really begging for people to cooperate with offering nothing in return.
That failure to solve murders can push people to arm themselves, fueling violence in the community. That's the argument of Jill Leovi. In 2015, she published a book called Ghettocide that investigated unsolved murders of Black men in Los Angeles.
You leave people with no choice. They can just be scared and want to defend themselves, or ravaged by grief and outraged that the person is still walking around. These impulses become endemic, and once it starts going, more and more people get involved in the cycle of extra legal violence.
But not everyone. Nazarene Duncan chose a different path. On the night of June 10th, 2016, Duncan's 24-year-old son, Junior, left her Mount Vernon home to see friends. The mother of three went to bed, and a few hours later, her phone started ringing.
And it was ringing, ringing, ringing. I was sleeping. I woke up, and my oldest son called and said, "Mom, I think something happened to Junior."
Junior had been shot 14 times outside an apartment building. After Junior's death, Mount Vernon's mayor at the time came to her home to promise an investigation.
I was on the edge of my bed, and I stood up, and he said to me, "We're going to do everything in our power to make sure this person get off the street, and we're going to catch them."
But 4 years later, the case remains unsolved. The little information that has come out about it suggests that, like many unsolved murders in Mount Vernon, this is the type of case that can stump police. The FBI says the case may be gang-related. Duncan says that police told her residents won't cooperate.
"Oh, the streets don't talk. We can't this, we can't that."
But Duncan doesn't believe that. She says her son was respected across the city's gang lines.
Junior was speaking with both sides, but he had to hide it.
Because of the goodwill he built up, she says witnesses from rival neighborhoods would be willing to come forward if the police worked the case. When WNYC asked her about the claims that police let an armed gunman roam the streets, she said she wasn't surprised.
"They need a full investigation to disinfect that rat hole of a police department. How many people gotta die before you guys do something?"
The Mount Vernon police did not respond to a request for comment about Junior's case. They insist they are investigating the allegations made in the whistleblower's tapes. As of now, all of the officers accused of misconduct in the secret recordings remain on the force. George Joseph, WNYC News.
Aside from Officer Bovell, the officers named in this story declined or did not respond to requests for comment.